Unit 18. Discrimination. Carla Kaplan was an assistant professor at Yale University. One evening, she accidentally slipped a bowl from her hands in her kitchen, and the jagged edge made a long cut in her hand from mid-palm to wrist. Blood was all over the floor, and her boyfriend rushed her to the emergency room, ER, of the university-attached hospital. At the ER, as the doctor prepared Carla's hand for the treatment, a student volunteer recognized Carla and exclaimed, "Professor Kaplan, what are you doing here?" And this sentence seemed to stop the doctor in his tracks. "Professor?" he asked. "You're a professor at Yale!" Within seconds, Carla found herself in the hospital's surgery department. The best hand surgeon in the state was called in, and a team worked for hours to restore Carla's hand to perfection. Can you spot the discrimination in Carla's ER visit? The act of discrimination here is not easy to spot, because it was an act not of hurting, but of helping, triggered when the doctor registered Yale professor. Those two words transformed the bloody-handed woman into a fellow member of the Yale in-group, someone who suddenly qualified for elite care. Perhaps the future of Carla's hand never would have been in any doubt had Carla been Carl, who arrived at the hospital in a rumpled tweed jacket with a pipe sticking out of his pocket. No student volunteer would have been needed to trigger the in-group identification in that case. Discrimination is hard to perceive because it does not present itself in obvious comparisons, where we must decide in a single moment whether to help one or the other. Actually, the bias involved in Carla's story is hidden in at least four ways. First, it was hidden from the doctor himself in the sense that he was almost certainly unaware of having attitudes that favored members of one group over others. Second, the fact that he was not doing anything obviously harmful would have made it hard for him to see that in choosing the better of two helpful options to pursue for Carla the Yale professor, he was expressing a bias. The third way in which the bias was hidden was that no one in the situation was hurt by the doctor's action. Carla, the only person who was affected, was helped by the revealing of her identity as a Yale professor. Finally, there was no easily identifiable disadvantage group in the situation. If pressed to say what group was being discriminated against, we would have to define it as consisting simply of all those who would not get the same special care. The lesson from Carla's story is that discrimination of even the most apparently well-intentioned kind has significant impact on both those who are not part of the in-group and those who are. If we study hidden bias by the traditional method of looking for expressions of negativity or aggression directed against out-groups, we may fail to see the far more pervasive ways in which hidden biases maintain the status quo.